Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I am your host, T.S. Wright. I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, give us a like. Well, today we have got a brand new guest on our show, and he is here to talk to us about his book and just some fun biblical topics that we're going to dive into. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you're driving, don't relax too much. But make sure we're still paying attention to the road. But definitely join us here and just over the next 20, 25 minutes, take in what we're saying, all right? Because we know that it is going to impart good wisdom to you. And we feel so blessed that you guys are listening and that we get to be able to share this with you. But anyway, without further ado, Tom Anderson, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, T.S. This has been looking forward to this for a long time, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know we've had a couple of reschedules, but hey, we are here today and it is time to take off on this thing. So, Tom, since it's the first time on your show, my audience knows this. Talk to us about your story. How has God shaped and influenced your journey?
A couple ways. One is definitely through our marriage. We got married young and got married under circumstances that we probably wouldn't have chosen. Nancy was pregnant, and so we got married. Nancy didn't want to be married at the time. In fact, she just decided not to be with me, and for good reason, not because I was a bad guy, but I was not going anywhere. But that's really shaped us. We've really discovered that God is one speaks. He put a couple words into our lives that it just took time to come forth, and we could probably talk about that. So that our marriage has really been key in terms of growth. We just had a 53rd anniversary, and we actually noticed a couple months ago that our relationship went to a new level, and there's a lot more joy, a lot more peace, even though there was peace and joy before. And I think that's what God does. It says from glory to glory. But the other thing that has really changed my life is been really seeing God in a new light. And I began writing a number of years ago through the book of Ephesians because I didn't understand it. And what really hit me was that God is this relationship, the Father and the Son. You know, every book that Paul begins with, he talks about the Father and the Son. And I talk about it in the atmosphere of the Spirit. And it's this delightful, this playful, this purposeful, this best friends forever, everything you could think in, that makes a great relationship is that on steroids, and that he's included me in this relationship has changed how I perceive myself. And that's where I've really spent most of my writing time and my speaking time is talking about who we are in Christ. It's a lot more it's almost heretical to think about what God has called us. You know, he's called us sons. He's called us beloved. And that's apart from anything I've done. And that's changed me when I've seen that this is who I am and I don't have to try to be something, but I already am. And my life has really flowed out from that understanding.
Amen. Amen. So Tom, you know, you obviously talked about your marriage.
Yes.
And kind of the start of that and then obviously how God has intervened and really reshaped your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not really you and it was not really her. It was all about him. So maybe expand on that a little bit.
It is all about him, but also about us too, because again, what God did in our life, and I believe God really does this in everyone's life. He plants dreams. And sometimes he even speaks a word, and that by that I mean it's not audible, but maybe there's something that jumps off the page in Scripture, or you're hearing something that resonates with you. And for us, my dream in my heart, even when I was a teenager, was to have the perfect marriage, and that's kind of strange for a teenager. As looking back now, this is looking back over decades, I've really seen that was a God implanted dream. And so, what do you do with those things? And I think there's, in my book, I talk about three stages of our Christian growth and through the life of Abraham. One is the believing stage where Abraham started his life as an unbelieving believer because he believed who God was. He didn't believe who God said he was. So So anyways, I had this dream of the perfect marriage, and I saw within a month it was not going to even last. There was things going on, dynamics that just were way beyond my control. And growing up a Lutheran, I had a lot of Lutheran understanding of God. I had a lot of Bible knowledge. I went to Lutheran grade school, high school, and college. But I never really sensed that God loved me, even though I knew in my head he did. And so when I saw the marriage wasn't going to last, I said, God, if you're real. And really from that point, we began our journey. And it was a good 8 years before Nancy, Nancy still was struggling because she was married to someone who wasn't going anywhere. We had two kids, and I would actually come home and she'd be staring at a wall, depressed. One Sunday we were at the kitchen table after the kids were taking a nap. And I was down at that point, and Nancy was always down. And I said, Nancy, let's pray. And as we prayed, this word right from my belly, and it's still real to us today. It's consider not the former things. Don't remember the things of old, for behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Here's God answering this deep-seated cry and also the dream in my heart. And I said, Nancy, do you feel that? She said, no. And for a whole month, it got worse until she said, she's done, she's leaving. She went into the bedroom and came out changed. And we don't know, there wasn't an angel, there wasn't a flash of light. God just released her. And so this is really important because a lot of times we have needs. We say, God, do something, when we really should say, God, speak something, say something, because God watches over his word to perform it. And so as this minister came through and he asked the congregation a question, he said, what does God do when you have a need? And he wasn't talking about I'm hungry. He was talking about existential needs. And we said, he meets the need. He said, no, he doesn't. If you look through scripture, he sends a word, then he tries the word, and then he meets the need, because he's interested in building faith in our hearts. So as we look back at that moment, and we've really seen this throughout our life, that's really been a life verse for us, that we really ask God to witness something to our heart, knowing that if that's happened, he's going to do it. And again, if you don't have that, we still have God's faithfulness and his character and his love. But for us, it was really a graphic. And so he makes a way in the wilderness, which means we would like to be in places where there's flashing lights, smooth highways, direction signs, all the rest. But that's not where he meets us. He meets us in the wilderness where there's no way to get out. So what we've found in our life, this thing about just crying out to God has really been probably bedrock in our life together. I mean, I do it myself. I tell the Lord often, I don't get it. Lord, open my eyes. And I think that's really the place that we as Christians need to be, not in a place of certainty, even though there is a certainty in our Christian faith, but just, Lord, I don't get it. I need you.
Amen. Amen. So obviously, you know, you've had these moments in your life, and both you and your wife, and you've done some writing as well. I know that you've got some books that you've written. You've got books coming and all that good stuff. But you've got a specific book that you were talking to me about, From Sinnership to Sonship, The Story of Becoming.
Yes.
Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that? Give us a little bit of a summary here.
Yeah, so definitions are important. You know, a lot of times we look at sin in terms of moral, and even though there is morality to it, as I've seen my life, and I actually have seen this in the life of Abraham, and I talk in my book about Adam and Peter and Abraham, because those are meta stories. Those are stories that everyone's life really fits in. But sinnership is basically an I am not mentality. And we are all driven, I think, initially by I am not. Why do we come to the Lord? Because we know we're not. We're not something. You know, we might have a broken life or might have some moral failures that we see that it's not right. But we come into the Christian life, receiving the Lord and having an experience, but we still walk through our early life just, again, with that mentality. And so we try to do things to prop up our life. And So I'm not worthy. In fact, what is anxiety? Anxiety is answering the question for ourselves that I'm not safe. And what's depression? It's saying I don't have a secure and glorious future. But sonship has to be defined by Jesus, one, because he is the son. And sonship is having a relationship with the Father that you know that you are loved without question, just for who you are. You know, I'm writing through the book of Jude right now, and he begins by declaring that we are loved by the Father, we're called, and we're kept by Jesus Christ. So when you think of your three greatest soul needs, and this is what sonship is, your three greatest soul needs, it's to know your intrinsic value, that it's not based on possessions, it's not based on position. It's just because, you know, God has created me, he's redeemed me, and actually I have a relationship with him, which is far greater than I can ever imagine. But also we're called, which is significance. You know, again, I set up chairs at the place where I work, and I take chairs down, and I have these little gardens. That's what I've seen in the life of Adam, little gardens that God's placed me where my significance is found there, and is found in the fact that he's called me. He's called me to sonship. He's called me to ministry, however great that is. And then we're kept by Jesus Christ. And so that kept is that's feeling safe. So knowing our worth, knowing our significance, knowing that we're safe is really where God is bringing us. And it's a journey. It's a story of becoming, because we don't start there. And I think we have to be honest about that. And part of the journey is understanding the life of Abraham, because Abraham, like I said, started his life out fully believing God. You know, he did things we all wish we would have done. You know, he defeated armies. He left all. He followed Jesus. You know, he built altars. But he didn't believe who God said he was, because in Genesis 15, God says, "Hey, Abraham, I'm your reward." And he said, "No, you're not, because I'm not who you said I am." And so we see through the life of Abraham his journey from not believing to fully believing, because in Moriah, what happened there is that God asked from him all evidence, all physical evidence of his fatherhood. You know, your son, your only son, this is who you are, your father, but I want the physical evidence back. And he said, "No problem, I know who I am." And at that point, God said, "Now." And I've seen with my life, you know, God has really done that. He's taken me from a place of brokenness, not thinking much of myself. And again, I see much of myself right now, but not in the sense that I'm proud, but in the sense that I have this relationship with God, and I have a position of authority in the world. I call my little pea patches, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my friends, my family, my work. These are all little areas where God's put me to serve and protect, and my significance is going to be found there.
Amen. Amen. So give us like a little example from the book that, you know, maybe like a message or something you can share with the audience.
Yeah. So meta story, again, I really see. So how do we come to know ourselves? That's a great question. You know, it's not in the do's and don'ts of the Bible. You know, and it's not in the doctrines of the Bible. It comes as we really begin to see ourselves through the lives of Adam. I say Peter and then Abraham, but Adam, when you think about what God did in the first chapter of Adam, this expansive picture of humanity, you know, he blessed Adam, and that word bless is barak. It's the same word that David used to bless the Lord. It's to kneel down and honor. You know, when God created Adam and he thinks about me, one of the themes in my writing is to discover the God you could never have imagined and the you imagined before time. And so, you know, Adam was created and honored. Then God said, first thing God didn't say was, "Here's the Ten Commandments, go ahead and keep these," right? He didn't say, "I am God, worship me." He said, "Adam, I created you to be free. In your freedom, you're going to honor me. In your freedom, you're going to keep, you're going to love, you're going to keep these things." So he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill, and then subdue and rule." And so I really spent a lot of time talking about those words because they really are part of our DNA. But then in the second chapter, he puts Adam in this very, very, very small space. And so, you know, this expansive picture of humanity put in this very small space. And that's how I've interpreted my life. I really see that God has, again, God has included me in his relationship, their relationship, you know, the Father and the Son. I've been called into the fellowship of the Son, and my eyes have been slowly opened to that. So what does it say about me? It says Psalm 139 is really real. You know, and I think if David was here today proclaiming Psalm 139, we'd call him a heretic. He said, God can't get enough of me. You know, he said that God stalks me. God thinks about me all the time. But that didn't create pride in him. It just created a sense of self that was energized and humble. And so when I think about Adam, you know, he is the first man, right? And Jesus came to fulfill that. And we're now in Christ, which is even far greater than being in Adam. So that's a little story. So I spend a lot of time talking about Adam because that's who we are. That's who God sees me as. And as that begins to open up in us, our understanding of ourselves begin to change, and we're able to serve in a way that God, that's really freeing and not a have-to sort of serving.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, it's interesting. When we read the story of Adam and Eve, and if we get into that story and get deep enough, what we start to realize is that God created Adam outside the garden, and then he put Adam inside mm-hmm. the garden. And then what he started to do was to show Adam how he was going to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when he created him outside the garden, he didn't just leave him out there wandering, but he wanted to give him purpose. And so that's why he put him inside the garden.
Yeah.
Was to give him purpose. And that purpose was to not only worship him, but actually to worship him, but to worship him in a way of how he was going to do things that God assigned him to do. That basically being God's representative in that garden. And isn't that what Paul calls us? I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God is making his appeal through us.
Yeah. So when you think when you think about the nature of God, you know, Adam really was was made in his image and was to grow into his likeness in the garden. So again, the garden is absolutely the small spaces that God has put us in. I mean, we have to hold this expansive view of ourselves, but give ourselves these gardens. He was there to serve and protect. That's what Hebrews says, abad and shamar. And when you think about what Jesus did, what did he come for? He came to serve and protect. Because this is the heart of God. This is the nature of God. And if we're going to be his sons and his daughters, we're going to have that same nature. We're going to take a look at dusting the furniture in a different way. I'm serving and protecting my house. When I love my wife in ways that she wants to be loved, I'm serving and protecting my garden. And that's what God does. You know, there's so many places in scripture talking about God as a gardener. And it's interesting about a garden is, I say this in the book, you don't plant rice in Idaho and you don't plant potatoes in a rice field. So, To serve a garden, you have to, you can't project yourself and your ways on the garden. You have to understand the garden. And that's what God does. He knows us, and he came in the flesh, not only because he knows us, but to even to know us in a way that he might not have known us. That goes down different paths, but, God is so other than we think he is. You know, I write in the book again that he'd rather get off the throne and wash our feet than sit on the throne, even though that's where he sits.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, one of the things too, I like that from sinnership to sonship is that the way that that's titled really, in the fact that it's based on a story, is that it is a process by which God walks us through to become that. He doesn't mm-hmm. just say, all right, you receive Jesus, snap your fingers,
right,
and now you're perfectly like me.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
It's a process of growth. The thing is, and I've told people before this, God could do that. I mean, he's obviously capable of doing that. But if he did it, there'd be things you'd miss. There'd be parts of this that you would never fully understand if he did it that way. But what happens is in the growth is you learn all these little things that God wants you to learn about him,
mm-hmm.
and also how to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can talk about trusting God, but we have to learn how to trust God. And then we have to demonstrate it. And, you know, God will test us along the way. He does. He puts us through these tests. People don't realize that sometimes that the things we're going through are a test. And yeah. those tests help him create us closer to who he is and more like who he is. That's what they're designed to do. I mean, think about it. Jesus totally was walking through that, his ministry, walking through his life. He was demonstrating to us what we were supposed to grow into. That's mm-hmm. what he was doing.
Yeah. And part of that's death. Is, you know, we come That's to a right. place where we have to die to ourselves. So as I, again, what I've talked about in the book also is this meta story. I mean, if we don't know the process, it's going to be easy to give up and misinterpret what's going on. And so again, Abraham began as an unbelieving believer, and we all start there. We believe God, but we really don't believe who God says we are. And then he went through this other section of his life where he had to go with hope against hope. And during that time, he tried to do in his own strength what God purposed to do in his, and he created Ishmael. And I think the interesting thing is that God never rebuked Abraham for his faux pas. He said, I'll bless Ishmael, but that's not my plan. When we come to the end of ourself, and when we come to the end of ourself, it really is a very fragile time, because we can walk away at that time. Christianity doesn't work. God's not real. He's not caring. But actually, this is the death stage where we come and realize that it says of Abraham that he knew his own body was now dead. He couldn't produce what God wanted him to produce. And it said, and also the circumstances were against him. Sarah couldn't produce. But these are the very places. This is the way in the wilderness. This is the rivers in the desert, where he began to hope against hope. He held on to the reality of God's word, that God witnessed something to his heart. And so I'm going to hold on to that more than I'm going to hold on to my circumstances. And so and because of that, it says in Romans that this hope caused him to become. And that's, again, the story of becoming. And so, but that's not the end of the story. That was the hope stage. And the love stage, as I already mentioned, was when he was willing to give up all physical evidence to his fatherhood. And God will also ask that from us too, just to solidify in us that we're going to walk in the spirit, in our spirit. And
yes. So having technical difficulties. So this thing froze up on us. Are you back?
I'm back. I've never left.
All right. Yeah. Your video froze up. It's still frozen. So we've had a little technical difficulty. So there we go. All right. You're back.
Okay.
There we go. All right. We'll finish the recording. So Tom, tell us where we can get this book, From Sinnership to Sonship, The Story of Becoming.
It's on my website. You can go there, tomanderson.in. It's definitely on Amazon, but you can find the link there. Also, you can read some reviews. You can read about the book there. I have a video that where I go to church. They asked me to speak last year on identity. Again, identity is so important. It's a buzzword right now in the world, but I think the church is catching up, knowing that who we are is so important to know. So my website would be the best place to go, and you can also communicate with me there.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, folks, hey, we're getting close to wrapping up, but I want to first of all have you, if you are listening to one of our auditory platforms, go to JesusSaid.tv. You may be watching this on JesusSaid.tv, but go to JesusSaid.tv and check this out. All right, check it out. We got lots of different ministries now starting to run their programs on our television station, JesusSaid.tv. You can stream it. You can download it on your Roku. Also, go to the God Center Concept Academy on Tuvu.com. Make sure that you check us out there. We have discipleship training. We're going to be doing live. We are doing live training now. And starting in July, and you're probably watching this in July as this is being released, right around the first, we are going to start our discipleship program, and we will be using the book Embracing the Truth. That is, we're going to have a three-book series on the God-Centered Concept Discipleship Series. The first book is Embracing Truth, already on Amazon.com. The second book will be released at the end of July, and then the last book will be released sometime in the late fall. And so you'll be able to follow through and learn God-centered discipleship. And it usually the program takes about 8 months as you walk through this. If you miss a recording, don't worry. We have pre-recorded lessons for you to catch up on. Also, check us out. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Check out the website. Message me through the website if you need to. You also can, if you have ministry or programming yourself you would like to enter on JesusSaid.tv, just let me know. If you'd like bulk orders of Embracing the Truth, certainly do. You can certainly find it there as well. Well, Tom, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much for being on here. It's been a pleasure having you, my friend.
Thank you, T.S. Really appreciate it, too.
You bet. It's been awesome. Well, now as we wrap up, thank you guys for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Now, go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.